inside. Let's pray that night and in the pain began to see their chains were loose and they were free. They sang, I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. A midnight hour, oh yes, if you should find, oh, you in a prayer, then in your mind, reach out, reach out. Bless the Lord.
Bless
glory be to God. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are
the truth, the way.
The truth and the way. One last one now, so if you find, oh, you find that in your life, oh, right where you are, you're in a mess of time so hard, reach out.
And the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our Lord is mighty, is a wonderful God.
Amen.
The things that he does for us, you can never imagine. Oh, while the people are coming in, I must just say something small here. I was in Vienna this week. It was very hot. I was missing my family terribly because I didn't want to leave them. When I went, my wife being away, it was very hard for me to be there. And the day I did my project, I finished it and I went to the hotel. It was horribly hot. And then after a while, I decided to go and look for some dinner somewhere. And I was just feeling so discouraged because I so much wanted to be with my children. And I went out trying to find a place to eat dinner and I got lost. You know, I mean, I could use my phone to find where I am. And I got lost and I was walking around, saying, Lord, how can I get lost, you know? How do I go back? And he spoke to me. And he said, turn this way. And I thought, that must be just me. I'm going to get lost more again. So I went round the other way. And then I decided to put my phone on because I kept getting more lost. I put my phone and it told me to go a certain way, and I was going, and I came back to the very place where I was when he spoke to me, And my phone showed me to go the way the Lord told me to go. It's very small, but it was the most encouraging thing to me. To think that God even cares for me, that level, that if I'm lost, not really lost, but if I'm lost, he speaks to me and say, go this way. I said, Lord, you're wonderful. So we thank the Lord that he has kept us through the week and he's brought us back into the house of the Lord again this morning. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. We are thinking of our pastor this morning being away in Glasgow with the family. Let us continue to pray for them as he ministers to the saints there. I would like to finish off this topic that we've been speaking in Sunday school for the last 3 weeks on the book of Malachi chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse number 6. Malachi 4 verse 1 to verse 6, and I shall read from verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that once more we can be in your house. We thank you for this grace, Lord, for there are many that went to sleep last night and they did not wake up this morning. Father, there are many that went to sleep planning to go to church this morning, but circumstances have changed and they are not able to come. Yet among us, Lord, you have given us so much grace that this morning we could be found in your house. Help us to take advantage of every minute and every second of it, Father, to enter into your presence, to hear your word, Lord, to help us prepare for this day that is coming. We commit this Sunday school to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated, saints, for a while. So that's just looking at this here, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And it's a very, very interesting chapter that we have been looking at. We tried to look at it from different angles, how sudden the coming of the Lord is and how it is later than we think. Because when we look around us, we see all the signs that the days of his coming must be at hand. But there are some things mentioned in this chapter here. One of them that I might just go through very, very quickly. It says in verse number 3, you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day I shall do this thing, saith the Lord of hosts. A question came up, where are we going to live after this? And everybody thinks that we are going to heaven, and that is true. We shall go to heaven, but we will go there to visit, you know. After this event has come to pass, we will come back. And all these people that are mentioned in this chapter that did not make it then will be burnt with this fire on this dreadful day of the Lord that is coming. Everything that we think is dear and important right now, it shall be burnt. No wonder the prophet calls it cannon fodder, because the atomic bomb shall sure use it for fanning the fires and burn everything that we many times hold dear to at this time. When that happens, then everything that will be reduced to ash when we come back to walk on this earth here, they shall be ashes under our feet. Then the millennium will set in and the Lord Jesus shall be on this earth with his bride for 1,000 years of righteousness and peace and joy, and we shall all be young again, and we shall plant her trees and eat the fruit, you know. We shall also build houses and dwell in them. You know, you shall not go to work, Brother Mike, work to make someone else rich, you know. No, it will not be like that. But we shall enjoy the fruits of our labors. Excuse me. However, so that is out of the way for now. In speaking about this coming day of the Lord, I have relied a lot on some on the message, the oncoming storm. I don't know if this is working. Oh, there we go. And my text is quite very, very small. And I've relied on that because I would like to dramatize this chapter for you a little bit to help us understand and put things in context. And perhaps maybe we can see how late the hour we are living in and what it is that we are supposed to be doing in the day that we are living in. Because we can sure get sidetracked a lot by the things that happen in this world, and we can forget the very important thing that we are here for. Amen. Now, in this message, the oncoming storm, the prophet goes to say, it pays to take warning. Because he had been speaking about these people that we mentioned in the first week, the farmer and his family, that the neighbor heard that there's a storm coming. And he came to warn his neighbor, but the man did not take the warning. And as a result, he lost his whole family. He lost his life because he did not pay attention. He did not take this warning. So now the prophet begins to explain some things to us. He says the first thing to do before there can be a warning, there has to be a preparation made for safety. So you've got to have a preparation, because if we say the storm is coming now and you have not prepared a place to hide from the storm, it will catch you and destroy your life perhaps. So you've got to make preparation for safety so that when the danger is coming and somebody tells you there's a storm coming, you can run into the storm shelter. So there is need, when the storm is coming, of course, there is need to send a warning. And he says, the warning is only a voice of one having you to prepare for the danger. And there has to be a preparation made first. Then if preparation is made, the warning can go forward to cause you to make your decision whether you want to listen to it or not. If you don't want to listen to it, well, that's up to you. But if you do listen to it, there is safety. And right here, this statement encompasses everything that we are doing right now. I would liken it to the days of Noah, which the prophet willed down the line there, where God was going to destroy the earth. But because he didn't want to judge the righteous with the wicked, he made preparation for them. So that's why the prophet is saying here, preparation for safety has to be made first. And God spoke to Noah, go and prepare the ark, because something is coming down the line. This ark is going to be safety for you and those that will choose to go into safety. That's exactly what we have in the day we are living in now, that there's something coming down the line somewhere. And we can all sense it. Every person knows there's something coming. Sometimes they say it's a recession. Sometimes they say some great disease is coming. Sometimes they say a war is going to happen. Sometimes economic turmoil and things like that. And all these things are just a precursor to what is really going to come. In America, they prepare for the great one. The great one. That there's going to be such a great earthquake. And they are practicing and preparing for that every single day. But we know, and we are privileged to know, that all these things may surely happen, but the real great thing that's going to happen is the coming of the Lord. And when he comes, he's going to take his bride, the righteous ones, and be with them in a safe place that has been prepared for you and for me. So preparation has already been done. There's a place of safety where you and me can go into so that whenever any of these things come, we are not afraid. We just know we are in a place of safety. But there has to be a warning. And that warning has already gone forth. And he says here, the warning is only a voice of one having you to prepare for the danger. I mean, can I ask you saints a question? An honest question that I would like you to answer honestly. With what Noah knew was going to happen, because Noah had seen a vision of what was going to come upon the earth. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews, Noah by faith. And faith being a revelation, something was revealed to him. He saw what was going to happen, and God showed him this ark that he's supposed to prepare to save the people. What else could Noah preach about? That's the question I have. Knowing there is a storm that's coming to destroy the whole world, could Noah stand at the gate of the ark and speak to the people about something else that wasn't pointing to that? There's no way he could do that, because he knew there's a storm coming and I've got to warn the people to get into the ark. And if the people didn't take it, what else could he do? But he stood there and he warned the people because he had seen something. He was the voice that was having people prepare for the coming of that storm. And we've got exactly the same thing today. We come here. I don't know about you. You may call me crazy. I'm used to it. People call me crazy anyhow. But I so much believe that the coming of the Lord is very, very imminent. It is far much later than we think. We can go about getting our houses, cars, and all these things that we can, and that is fine. Nothing is wrong about that. But if you know the coming of the Lord is coming, I mean, you can't shut up about it. You've got to tell somebody. You've got to help the people because there's a storm that is coming. And he says God has the same method. He was talking about how this neighbor prepared his neighbor for the oncoming storm. And he says God has the same method. We work on God's method in that way. God, in the early days, the antediluvian world, when the people had gotten so wicked and so sinful, those were the conditions in the antediluvian world. The people had gotten so wicked and so sinful that a 12-year-old boy, if this doesn't shock you, I don't know what else will shock you. Because I have a 12-year-old daughter. To think that a 12-year-old boy could take a knife and plan to go into a school to kill little innocent little children, that is beyond wickedness to me. How did that boy end up doing a thing like that? That he can just walk into a school where small little girls, 4 or 5 year old, are doing ballet and just hack them to death. I mean, isn't that wickedness? Can God look at that? If it shocks me, being an unrighteous man, what must it do to God? I mean, they were sharing a picture of what they were doing at the Olympics there, how they recreated the Last Supper, and they were doing that great abomination. And I thought to speak about it today, and so I Googled it, because I wanted to bring the picture and put it next to that one of Da Vinci. I couldn't look at it. You know, I really couldn't look at it. And I said, I better not even put this. I'm even sad I Googled it on my computer. If it abhors me that much, what it must do to God? And he says, people had gotten so wicked and so sinful that God could not look upon it and be just. Can you tell me, in the day we are living in now, if God can look at what is happening and be just? There's no way he is going to let this world go on like that. There is just no way. God is just. He has laws, the prophet says. When those laws are broken, any law that's broken and there's no penalty to it is not a law. When those laws, you cannot break the laws of God without having to pay for it somewhere. You must do it. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Can you think of it, saints? Another question. How God must feel when the flood had finished and he looked at his Noah and family and all the people whose life had been lost through the flood, and he says to Noah, Noah, I will never do this again. I love you people, but I will not destroy the world by water again. And I'm going to give you an everlasting sign. Amen. Whenever it rains, because it had never rained before. So when the rain came, imagine what it did to Noah. I mean, when my wife went to Zimbabwe last year, and my son got so sick there, this year she wanted to go to Zimbabwe with my son. I said, no, he's not going. He might get sick there again. So imagine when the first time that it rained and it destroyed all these people and everything, what about the next time it rained and Noah looked at the rain and there was no ark? What he must have felt? Say it's going to happen again. So God gave him comfort, an everlasting sign that when it begins to rain, I will put this rainbow in the sky to remind myself that I will not do that. So how God must feel now when people take that very symbol that God placed in the sky and use it to represent everything that is against the word of God, the rebellion that they have against that very God. How must he feel? How God must feel today when he sees that? He's got to judge this world. And it's sooner than we think that this will happen. If you show me the next slide, sister. That's the way it was in the days of Noah. God got so filled up with it, but before he sent a storm to destroy the entire world, God made preparation for those who wanted to stay out of it. I can see Noah standing in the door of the ark preaching righteousness. What could he preach about? Oh, there wasn't many who would listen to him. There was something like today. They want entertainment. Isn't that true? Not the gospel. We need some of the old-fashioned backwoods preachers that's got the Holy Spirit, that's not afraid to preach the gospel with their bare hands, not covered up with some kind of rubber gloves. Hey, brother, that was too hard. You should you should sweeten it a bit, you know. Who's preaching today? Oh, it's Brother Eli. Ah! He always condemns us, you know. But I love it. I love it, you know, Brother Eli. You are doing the right thing, Brother Dave. Let's preach it, because what else can we preach about? I mean, you tell me, you know, and I can preach about it. But as long as I'm least looking at God's word, there's nothing else, you know. But preach the coming of the Lord Jesus, judgment for the wicked, and heaven for the righteous, and the near approaching. That's the season that we are living in, because we see all these things. Why? He says, I don't know, and no one else knows what season the Lord is coming, but I warn my generation, the prophet says. If it comes now, I want them to be warned. If you can show me the next one, sister. I think that's the last one. No doubt, but what there were many that laughed at Noah and made fun of him. The Bible said they were scoffers. I can just hear them say something like this. Now, if you haven't got some better entertainment than that, we'll just stay at home. How many people have made that decision? Oh, the pastor is away this weekend. We'll just stay at home. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. And it's announced, brother so-and-so is preaching Friday night. They'll say, I'll just stay at home. You might not say exactly the same words, But your attitude and the very things that you go on to do are speaking exactly the same thing. And there are no scoffers there. No, no, don't fool yourself. They won't be there. The world today, America, doesn't want the gospel. They want entertainment. They've got to have something to entertain them. A lot of fancy music or something like that, or some kind of a party, or some kind of a wiener roast. You know what a wiener roast is? A barbecue. There's nothing wrong with barbecues, you know. But they want to do that at church, you know. Which them things are all right outside of the church. But the church is where judgment ought to be preached in. The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and a warning. That's what we are talking about. Because there's nothing else we can talk about. We can see the coming of the Lord is very, very imminent. And you and me, we better pay heed to the warning that the Lord is coming. Just the next one, I think, is last, sister. Watch when Lot went to tell his people. They laughed at him, made fun of him, and the sins of the city vexed his righteous soul. The angel's message didn't stir them. It had no effect on them. That's the matter. If the message can be preached, if you can put on a message and listen to a message, and it has no effect on you whatsoever. I mean, you're going in one direction right now. And you're going this way, and the message meets you, and it's preached a certain something in your life, which is supposed to change your direction to go that way, but you just continue on anyhow, because it had no effect on you, you are in a very terrible place. They were asked to come out, because judgment was upon the city, and God was going to bring a storm of fire upon the city. They refused to walk. They refused to come out. They were satisfied with their sins. That's my prayer, Brother George. That if ever it happens that I'm satisfied to stay home while there's church going on, may God have mercy on me. May I die before that happens. Because I do not want to be satisfied in my sins. And you may question me about, I'm a believer. I'm born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make it. Who says that coming to churches? Let me tell you something. There's a woman in the message as we close. It was actually a dream that Brother Branham's mother had. And Brother Branham says of his mother, she was a very spiritual woman. She never dreamed much in life. And whenever she dreamed something, it sure came to pass. And she had a dream once. She said, Billy, I dreamt you were standing at a place where there were three steps. And you were preaching your message there. And people had to come on those three steps. 1, 2, 3. Justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. When they reached the third step, then they would walk on this road which led them into heaven. And you were standing there telling people, preparing them, of how they must dress and how they must conduct themselves and all these things in order to walk on this road. But one woman came and she had these shoes, you know, these high-heeled shoes, which I forever hate. I'm not a hypocrite. If I was a woman, I wouldn't wear them either. And she came with them and the prophet told her, oh, no, no, sister, you cannot walk that road with them shoes. And she turned around and said to the other women, don't listen to him. It's in the message, it is the rising of the sun, 1965. Don't listen to him, he's a madman. How many people say that? I'm telling you, it's true, people say that. That he's a madman. He just, his lights are not on, they say. He grew up in the village, you know. He doesn't know much about the city. He's a madman, don't listen to him. She said that to the other women. And she said, I'll show you I can be justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost wearing these shoes that I'm wearing. And the prophet said, she did it. She went those steps, 1, 2, 3, and began to walk that highway as fast as she could. And she turned around and said, you see, I told you I can do this. And the prophet says, you can do that and not make it. Because as she continued to walk, and she walked that road, it started to get narrow and narrow. And if you know this message very well, that's exactly that road. Because it gets narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow. And she got to a place where she couldn't go anymore. And down she went. And the prophet says, Mama said the most horrible scream I ever heard. As she tumbled down into flames of fire. That is not you and me, brother, sister. The prophet then says, she listened to everything else but one word. Yours might not be high heel. It might be that temper. Yours might not be temper. It might be that looseness with money. Yours might not be money. It might be that pride. But she listened to everything else that this messenger came, which we read of in Malachi chapter 4. He was sent for a reason. God has sent him to warn you and to warn me of that coming day of the Lord. She didn't listen to just the one small thing that she thought, surely God will understand. He can overlook when I don't come to church. I mean, I don't know. There's a reason why. In the book of Malachi chapter 4, verse number 4, there's a reason why the Lord says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. It seems to be out of place that we are talking of the end of the world and the coming of the Lord and of that great and terrible day of the Lord. Then from nowhere, Malachi 4 verse 4, it puts that verse, remember ye the law of my servant Moses, which I gave him at Mount Horeb. It's not out of place. It's right there for a reason that everything that is going to happen at the end of the world is very much tied up with the law of God. And if the law has no punishment, it is not law. But God is righteous. His law has punishment. And I'm very glad that I'm not doing Sunday school next week. So you might as well come to church. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, as we read these words, Father, many of us, we take them very seriously. Hallelujah. Because we know your word is eternal and these things will happen. Amen. Father, yet Lord, there are so many that hear the preaching of the word and it has no effect on them. I pray you have mercy upon them, Lord, this morning and help them, because there is coming a time when this word will come to pass and we shall look back and step on the ashes of those that refuse to listen to the word. Lord, let it never be that none of these people will be ashes at that time, but that, Lord, we will walk together down the streets of that city. Lord, I commit them into your hands, and I pray that you be merciful to me also, Lord, for I also need to live according to this word and be right with you, Lord. May you grant us grace this morning, even as we commit the song service to you. Lord, speak to us through the songs, Lord, and bless the preaching of the word this morning as we commit our dear brother Cheslin to you, even the musicians and the song leader. Lord, may you use them for your glory this morning. I pray for our pastor that you be with him and help him also where he is and his family. Until we meet together with them again, may you keep them safe, Lord. We commit this service to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.